Hey, welcome back to another Gospel Rant on the Enneagram. I'm Dr. Bill Sinyard. I'm with my special guest, as always, Allie Sinyard. Hey, Allie, I thought we had a great time looking at Enneagram number threes. I was not in a great place, and I'm not quite sure why, but I liked it, and I learned, and I don't think I'm a three, but yeah, I've grown in my appreciation for a three.
Good.
So hopefully I'll be in a better mood talking about fours, because fours are very interesting, special, complicated people, right?
And they would love that you just gave them that description.
Is that mean really? Seriously, you're not being sarcastic?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then let's
nope, not being sarcastic.
That's our gospel rant.
Yep. And again, threes would love to know that you appreciate them more. So you just gave two very specific compliments to two very different numbers.
Well, good, because I probably lost audience last time.
There you go.
All right, so fours are described by The Road Back to You, a book that I'm using and you've recommended, as artistic. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here's the quick overview. What's it like to be a four? Says the author. I like things that are unconventional, dramatic, and refined. I'm definitely not a fan of the ordinary. Two, I never really felt like I belonged. Wow. Three, I have so many feelings in a day, it's hard to know which ones to pay attention to first. Four, some people think I'm aloof, but I'm really just unique. Five, in social situations, I tend to hang back and wait for others to approach me. Six, melancholy is comfortable for me. Now, that's a sentence that I would never put together. Melancholy is comfortable for me. So it's annoying when people try to cheer me up. Seven, I'm not like everyone else. Phew. Eight, I'm very sensitive to criticism, and it takes me a while to get over it. Nine, I spend a lot of time trying to explain myself. 10, when people tell me what to do, I'm often tempted to do the opposite. 11, sometimes I just disappear and go radio silent for a few days. 12, I'm okay with sad songs, sad stories, and sad movies. Overly happy people give me a headache. 13, so I wonder what choruses they like in church. 13, I feel there is something essentially lacking in me. Ouch. 14, it's really hard for me to settle into a relationship because I'm always looking for my ideal soulmate. 15, I'm self-conscious. It's hard for me to find my place in a room full of people. 16, people say I'm too intense and my feelings overwhelm them. 17, I'm either an artist or highly creative. I come up with one amazing creative idea after another. It's executing them that's hard. 18, lots of people misunderstand me and it makes me frustrated. 19, I pull people in, but then I get nervous and push them away. 20, I worry a lot about abandonment. Fun people.
Yeah.
I like the creative part, and I get it. I mean, so a lot of poets and actors maybe, and artists, musicians, I can see them fitting into this category quite a bit. But hard to have relationships.
Maybe. I think so. The thing that I really envy about fours is they are extremely in touch with their emotion. And also like to a crippling amount at times. Right. So it talked about kind of that. I feel a lot of things and I'm not sure which thing to feel. Yep. But they are so aware of how they feel, which is why they tend to make awesome artists. It doesn't mean that every four is an artist, but sure. Tend towards creativity because they're able to connect with that deep personhood. Yeah. That for lots of other types, it's very hard to truly know, right? So their sense of self, they're confident in who they are, but that doesn't always it's not always perceived as confidence, right? They just know really deeply who they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that does stem from that, oh, I've always felt like I was on the outside. Like there was something different about me. There was always something I was lacking. Like there's some joke that I'm not in on that everyone else is sure of, which again, I mean, that's Evanescence. That's Avril Lavigne. That's like, and again, their type of music, I can't say who they are, but those are people who are able to speak and connect to the misfits. So my experience of fours is not that they're bad at, not that they're bad at relationship. Yeah. They so, so deeply desire real intimacy and are not afraid of it like other numbers.
But find it elusive. I mean, the Amy Winehouse is one mentioned by the book, which totally fits. And one of my favorite artists, Vincent van Gogh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like to on one end of the spectrum, you can look at the people who kind of pull away from people as their response. But then it talks about in that list, they hunger for like the soulmate. And so that in my experience makes fours go deep really quickly, right? Like they are the people who are like, hey, this is who I am. And are not afraid to to bring up the messy. So they, although they might be aloof and harder to get to know initially, once they've decided to get to know you, you truly know them. I don't know if that's fair to say, but
I think they'll go deep with you.
Yeah.
Even need to. I mean, if they find that you're that person. You will be one of their rocks.
Yeah, could be. And I think they also connect through that melancholy, right? Like if you are able to sit with someone in brokenness, I forget where I was reading this. But like a four is somebody that you want with you in times of mourning, right? Because they know how to be sad with you.
Yeah,
whereas like
visitation pastors or chaplains doctors and nurses.
Right. Because they're not going to try to fix you. They're just going to be like, be present. And they know how to be there. Whereas, whereas a one, although again, could be great in crisis and could be great in these moments, because I'm not going to make a generalization, but would have a tendency towards trying to fix the problem.
Right.
But a four can sit with you and go, wow, that must be so hard. Like they're not gonna minimize or distract. They're going to be with you, which I think gives them a really unique power.
So what makes a four happy?
Oh, I mean, what makes anyone happy? I don't. So the melancholy thing has always confused me to an extent, except for the like not being afraid of dark emotion, right? So like being able to sit there in sadness, wanting to connect with people through shared brokenness.
Okay. And when they connect, does that make them happy?
So yes, but I would also say that it's not, I don't think personality ever defines emotion, right? Like there is core emotion that like is linked to all this, so maybe that's not fair to say, but like, any number can feel and will feel all of the emotions at some point, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't think you can see a sad or depressed person and be like, oh, you're a four. No. Well, they might be, but they also could just be sad or depressed.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I think in the same way, fours feel very deeply, but they feel all emotions very deeply. Okay. So they're not known by sadness. They're not known by anger. I would say I know fours who experience joy so deeply, like are so deeply moved by joy because they're peak people, right? So they're like feeling joy and they're the most exuberant, like unabashed version of themselves. And then when they're sad, they are going to be so sad and feel that so deeply.
Oh, that's helpful.
So it's not necessarily this, I'm always like Eeyore type, right?
Right.
It's not Eeyore.
To worship freely.
Yeah, totally. Right. Because I, and even a healthy four who's like, okay, I've never felt like I need to fit in and like realizing like, I don't need to fit in like that in worship. Can you imagine like not, not needing to succumb to social norms because they've always been striving for uniqueness.
I would suspect that they would demand or desire, whichever one you prefer, really deep thoughts and songs and reality and authenticity. And so not just happy, yeah, slappy forces, you know?
Yes. Yep. And fours can see through that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. They would resist that, wouldn't they?
Yep.
Or walk out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see a lot of the psalmist maybe being fours. I mean, they're going deep. The Psalm 88, darkness is my closest friend. But then there's joyful stuff as well. It's just kind of over the top. But I guess if you're a four, it's not over the top.
Well, and so that's where I wonder too, like talking about darkness being my only friend, right? How often do people of all numbers feel that?
Yeah.
But how rare is it for someone to actually say it and be like, nope, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's why I think fours have this sense of bravery of like, nope, like darkness is my only friend or my, you know, like, I think that would take a lot for hypothetically a seven to say, right? Where you don't want to claim pain. A four is able to express that.
Are they able to connect? I mean, emotionally, do they have the emotional awareness? We've been talking about that some, to help other people who are not fours come to grips with these kind of emotions. That would be really helpful.
So the question was, are they emotionally aware?
Can they help other people like nines and fives and ones to actually come to grips with, you know, We're not going to deflect here. We're not going to be talking about the grass growing. How are you really feeling? Conversations.
Totally. And I would say self-aware people can help other people become self-aware no matter what their number is. But yeah, I think fours naturally offer that self-awareness. So in growth or in security, a four, takes on the attributes of a one, which has the desire to fix and to perfect, right?
Yeah,
a four in a healthy place can take on those constructive criticism kind of traits, and they can, right? Whether it's about themselves or another person, like they could sit with someone in relationship. I don't know if that fully answers the question, because I do think, I think a four, if they're not fully consumed, right? Like if, and that's true with anyone, if you're not fully just thinking of your own emotions, you can help others see, whether that's just expressing it and letting someone else see that it's okay to express it, or whether that's knowing what questions to ask or knowing how to say like, hey, I've felt this way. Is that what you're feeling right now? Almost like a multiple choice thing. But in stress, and I thought this was reversed, which is why I was going to bring this up and I keep flipping it. In stress, they take on, some attributes of the two, or the need to be needed. So when a four, is under stress, they can get to the point where they need other people to then validate that they are needed or validate that they are wanted. So it becomes a, I am in this melancholy. I see this, like, why aren't you here? And these unspoken expectations can show up.
Yeah. Which can be off-putting to people who aren't there.
Right. So, Yeah.
Could shut down a five or a, could run headlong into the buzzsaw of a one.
Yeah. So it talks about fours being, I think, the center of the heart triad, or they're ruled by heart, and five is ruled by head. And so if you think about like the juxtaposition of like a four being like, I don't know if I can explain this, but I feel this, and a five being like, I need you to give me some logic. Like, why do you feel this? Or your feelings are wrong. Right. But a four being like, I need to trust my gut on this. And again, people are different in the midst of this. But a four is going to be much more self-aware, mm-hmm. and also motivated by emotion.
So, I mean, in our engage groups, I mean, you know, people who don't know what that is, they go to the website and look at engage groups, but it would be good to have a four, because they would be, as a matter of fact, you want them to start the discussion around the circle, because yeah. they're going to go deep.
Totally. Yep.
Did you know that the number one cause of death of men, young men and women 10 to 24 in Colorado, the number one cause of death now is suicide? It's skyrocketed. And I'm just wondering, would the fours be the ones most able to communicate the gospel mm-hmm. to folks who are depressed and hurting and anxious and have no hope? Mm-hmm. I mean, a five wouldn't, because it's not right. reason anymore. It's midbrain stuff. It's mm-hmm. it's emotion, the scattered emotions, chaotic emotions. They can't figure out. They can't categorize. So somebody's got to be there and go, yeah, that's self-hatred, or yeah, that's a lack of hope. That's despair. I mean, and to have somebody who's been there and gets it and is aware of it and can tell the story would seem to be very, very helpful. Maybe yeah. we need more fours. Maybe fours go to counseling. That's what I was about to say. Maybe we need more fours in counseling, but maybe we have them.
I think we have a lot of people in counseling. If we're looking at the millennial generation, it's not just one type of person that's going. It's a movement.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we're describing this, there's a lady, I'm not going to mention her name, but who fits this like to a T. Hmm. And she's at her best. She demanded, graciously demanded conversations go down to the emotional level. Hmm. And she was a magnet for hurting people.
Hmm. Yeah. She was a magnet.
And when she was not healthy, she was, you know, she struggled with self-victimization and depression, playing the victim. But then two days later, she'd come and admit it. Hmm. So it seems like she fits as a four to me.
Yeah.
And she was an amazing igniter of worship and prayer and ministry. And she would enter conversations with anyone, fearless, at an emotional level. I mean, where fives would never tread. So, I have respect for this bunch, even though, yeah, they can be unhealthy ones. According to the book, the deadly sin is envy.
Or even just like the thing that they feel that they are missing. Right, because it's that sense of everyone else belongs because they have X, Y, or Z. Yeah. So if I only had that, I would be a part of this, that longing to belong.
The longing to belong. Yeah, you know, I think I like the fours. Just personally. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I'm just saying.
You're supposed to like every number.
I like every number, but I'm just going, you know, I really appreciate the four's ability to unpile people's emotions. And I think we need to know that. My Hebrew professor years ago said that we need more poets in Old Testament study, because three quarters of the Old Testament is poetry, but it's not just because it's poetry, because there's emotions, emotiveness. And people who are real cognitive look at the structure and can unpack it, but they don't get to the heart of the thing. And so he said we needed more poets, and he's right. He's absolutely right. Maybe we need more fools leading worship and writing commentaries and, I don't know, preaching. So what good would the gospel, the single uncluttered gospel, do for me right now? But and for those people who are just checking in, let me remind people what we mean when we're talking about the simple uncluttered gospel. And here it is: Jesus follower. Strictly because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, God has to love you. He loves you as you are, not as you should be or could be. He loves you as much as the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. He can't love you anymore, whether you're a four or three or two or one. He loves you as you are. And that makes a difference. And the way we can experience that is by asking the Holy Spirit to make me get that. make me believe that. I can't do it on my own. I can't just convince myself that's the wrong muscle group. I actually need the Spirit's power to actually make me feel hugged by God today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day. So what difference would that make in a Enneagram number four, or an unhealthy Enneagram number four?
Yeah. You have been given eternal significance and identity that cannot be marred and is lacking in nothing.
And what would that make a four look like or feel like? Less self-pitying, I suppose.
Yeah, and also maybe a slight decrease in the need to prove their significance. So that striving for uniqueness comes from I need to be significant in the world. What am I going to be known by?
Right. We don't talk much about the striving for uniqueness, but yeah, they would resist being put in any box, like saying you're a number four would not appreciate.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have significance. You are known deeply.
You are unique. Yeah, and God loves you and your uniqueness.
And your uniqueness. In fact, he was very intentional with it, and you are lacking in nothing. Yeah, and then I just think the realization of truly being made in his image, including all of the many facets of the emotions, and looking at that as a celebration and something that's needed in the kingdom, more so than something that is controlling.
Yeah, now you're stepping on some toes. We're talking about an emotional God.
Yeah.
A God who feels sorrow and feels...
Right. Jesus wept.
Right. He wept over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And God writes poetry. Obviously, much of the Bible is loaded with that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So God actually made you in your emotions, and you're penetrating as you penetrate your broken emotions, right? The all creation groans emotion. In some ways, you're digging into the depths of God and his nature.
Mm-hmm. And through his Spirit, your heart can be truly broken for what breaks his heart, which is such a common prayer, but I think the fours can experience that.
Yeah. And so
more readily.
For Enneagram 4, I'm feeling a little bit envious because that's something I struggle with is to get in touch with my emotions and name them and be okay with that. And these folks don't have that problem.
Yeah. So now maybe you're a 4 because you're coming into that envy.
I think the more I learn, I was a 1, I'm a 2, I'm a 3, I'm a 4. I think I am the universal number, whatever that is.
There you go.
Infinity. Yeah. Or else I just don't know who I am. I'll be whatever.
So you might be a 9. Be. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. That's how you save the best for last. All right, Allie. Thanks again. We're getting great reviews on the, I'm not sure why, but we're getting great reviews on these conversations. And it seems to be helping a lot of people. And I'm talking to a lot of people who have been hearing about, you'll appreciate this, they've been hearing about Enneagrams. And a person a couple of days ago said, yeah, I have a friend in Nashville. It's all over Nashville. So there you go.
It is.
Of the world. The millennials
in
Nashville. But it is helpful, and I do find it interesting. And it is causing me to appreciate the differences. So that's good.
Yeah, and that's the goal.
There we go. All right. So next time we'll look into the Enneagram number 5. And that's one that I thought I was, but I don't think I am anymore. But we'll see.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Allie. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you next time on Gospel Rant.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.